Wow. Thank you all. I love all of you. I love our church family so much. And I really appreciate I'm overwhelmed, just feel thankful to the Lord for the family that he's created here that we get to experience. Before I start the message, I did want to do a disclaimer or a caveat or give some instruction. You know, we've been singing, I think Ross sang this song, and one of the songs, and what's the title of that song, Ross? We Praise You. And in the lyrics of that song, it says, giants will fall. But I want you to make known, I want to make it clear, we're talking about spiritual giants, not San Francisco giants, okay? Spiritual giants, all right? I just want to clarify that, so when we're singing that song, you're not getting any other ideas, all right? So, all right, in my pocket, I have this is my, what is this? Keys, right? And it's my set of keys, and what are keys used for? Yeah. Opening a lock, right? Keys are used for opening a lock. So these do car keys, house keys, keys to the Freedom Center, right? But they're used to open a lock. Did you know that God has given us a spiritual key? He's given you, knew that. That's good. That's good you knew that, Jared. That's good. So God has given us a spiritual key, and this key can be used to open the doors of God's presence and power. It can be used to establish a relationship with him. It can be used to bring heaven manifest down to earth. And it's a very powerful key. You know what that key is? The key is faith. The key is faith. God has given us the key of faith to use to unlock his presence, his power, his moving here on earth, and to unlock our relationship with him. You know, we have a drawer in our house, and it's kind of like an odds and ends drawer. You probably have that too, right? Where all kind of things end up in there. Pencils and paper clips and all kinds of stuff end up in this drawer. But one thing that's in that drawer that I've seen from time to time when I look, there's all these keys in there. But you know what? When I look at the keys, I don't know what they go to anymore. I forgot what they go to. And they just sit there and, you know, collect dust and are forgotten. You know, sometimes I think that's how we approach or think about or don't think about using the key of faith. It's something we've used before, we've unlocked things, but sometimes it just ends up in that odds and ends drawer, and we never use it. We don't utilize it. And so today I'm going to talk about faith, because I think, especially in this time, this day and age, and just for our lives, it's critical to be able to exercise faith to unlock what God wants to do in our lives and here on earth and in and through us and for us. Okay, so we're going to look at a passage in John chapter 4. Verses 43 through 54. And before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you that in your generosity, in your love, in your wisdom, you have given us the gift of faith. You have given us the key of faith. And Lord, it's a powerful key, because through faith in you, it can unlock an intimate, close, personal relationship with you. And it can unlock your moving, your power, your blessings in and through us and for us and for the people around us. And so, Lord, help us to see, open the eyes of our hearts to see how important faith is, to have a greater understanding, to get revelation from you, and Lord, to be empowered and encouraged to exercise faith in our lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so let's start with John chapter 4. Let's go start with 43 through 45. At the end of 2 days, Jesus went on to Galilee. He himself had said that a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. Yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything he did there. And so Jesus, before this, he and his disciples, they had just gone to Jerusalem. They were in the northern part of Israel, Galilee. That's where Jesus was from. That was his hometown around the Galilee region. But they had traveled south to go to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. All the Jews were supposed to gather in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And while he was there, Jesus performed many miracles. In fact, in John chapter 2, verse 23, it says this, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. And so Jesus was growing in his reputation as being a miracle worker, someone through whom God performs great signs, wonders, and miracles. And his reputation was growing, and people had seen that in Jerusalem. So when he went back to travel back home to the Galilee region, some of those people, I'm sure they had heard. And you know, right, when people share stuff, it just catches on. Even back then, without social media, right? It still caught on. People heard about Jesus. Did you hear about Jesus? Yeah, he was performing all these miracles. And people were excited to hear. And his reputation was growing. Let's look at verse 46. As he traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. And so in John chapter 2, in Cana, Jesus had went to a wedding feast, if you recall, and they ran out of wine. And that was a great embarrassment, especially from cultures from the East, where hospitality is a huge thing. Just think if you had a wedding, right? You were getting married, or your son or daughter was getting married. Everyone comes to the wedding feast, and there was enough food for only half the people. Oh, that's right. Right? That's an embarrassment, right? So at this wedding feast, they ran out of wine, and that was a big deal. And so they go to Jesus. His mother, Mary, goes to Jesus, and they said they're having this problem with wine, and he actually instructs them, and he turns 6 huge vases or containers full of water. He turns the water into wine. That was his first miracle. There was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son who was about to die. Okay, and so this is first point here. The heat shows the heart. The heat shows the heart. When we are in trial, when we are in crisis, when we are facing challenges, God uses those things to expose our heart, where our heart's at. You know, some of you have heard that on Friday, our family, we had a little crisis. We had a little crisis, and it was because of me. In the afternoon, I started getting a lot of pressure on my chest, just out of the blue. I started getting a lot of pressure on my chest. My chest was feeling very heavy, and, you know, sometimes I get indigestion, and I get acid reflux sometimes, so I know what, like heartburn and things, but this was different. It was like pressure, and it was getting more and more intense. And then about 15 minutes, it was persisting. And then Dale goes, "What's wrong?" I go, "I don't know. I don't feel good." And she goes, "Oh, do you think we need to do something?" And I just sat there. And then I could feel like I was getting on the urge of starting to feel nauseous and starting to be a little bit short of breath. And so it's nothing like I've ever experienced before. So I said, "Yeah, we better just get it checked out. You better take me." And so, she takes me to the ER and. She starts texting, you know, like the intercessors and our staff and the elders, and we have to get all these people praying. And, you know, fortunately, I was there a long time waiting, but everything came out fine. All the results, the tests were negative. And after about 30 minutes or so of waiting there, I started feeling better, and then after a while, I felt okay. But it's interesting because that was like a little crisis, right? And it's interesting, and when you look at the ER, people there are going through crisis. And it's interesting how people respond to crisis, how people react. What's my feeling? For me, when I was sitting there, you know, and I thought, okay, great, I just turned 60, and so this is what I, yeah, I just turned, but what came to my mind actually was, this verse came to my mind, my days are numbered by the Lord. My days, so I actually felt very peaceful. I was like, okay, Lord, my days are numbered by you. You know my days, so if it's my time, that's great, I get to see you. But if not, then get to, you know, continue here on earth with what you want me to do. But I felt very peaceful. But when we're in crisis, that pressure, right, reveals our heart. This man, this official of Capernaum, he was in crisis. In fact, it's one of the worst crises you could face as a parent, especially, right? It's his child, it says, was near death, on the verge of death. And so this man, this dad, he was a desperate dad. He was a desperate dad. I'm sure they had gone to all the medicine of the day. They had done everything they could. I'm sure they had all the people praying, right, in their village. But his son was getting worse and worse and on the verge of death. And in that moment of that pressure, of that crisis, I think part of the man's heart was revealed. What was that? The father's heart. As a parent, we carry the father's heart for our children. And so he was prepared to do whatever he could for his child, for his son. And then I'm sure he, when he was thinking about what could he do, he remembered, hey, I heard Jesus is coming back to town. He's going to be near us. And he's done great miracles of healing. And so this guy was desperate. So he said, I'm going to go. I'm going to find Jesus. Whatever it takes, I'm going to find him, and I'm going to ask him, beg him, plead with him to come back to heal my son. And so he begins that journey. That's the beginning of a faith journey for him. Because Cana was about, I think, 16 and a half miles from Capernaum. And of course, they didn't have cars back then, right? They didn't have anything like that. So he started taking the steps. And they said the road from Capernaum to Cana is pretty much uphill. So he took that long road, day's journey, walking to find Jesus. Okay, let's go on. Verse 48. Jesus asked, I skipped that in verse 47. Let's go back there. When he had heard that Jesus had come to from Judea to Galilee, he went and what? Begged Jesus. So he finds Jesus in Cana, and I'm sure there's throngs around him. There's a lot of people gathered because they too have heard about Jesus, and he fights his way through the crowd, and he's pleading, and he's begging. Jesus, please, my son, he's on the verge of death. He's pleading, he's pouring out his heart to Jesus. Please come and heal my son. Okay, let's go 48. 48, Jesus asked, will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? The official pleaded, Lord, please come now before my little boy dies. Then Jesus told him, go back home, your son will live. And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. So here's this man in desperation, father's heart, cares for his little boy. Put yourself in that situation. Jesus is his only hope. There's no other hope that he sees. And as he's pleading, Jesus says, go back home. Your son will live. This is the moment of truth, right? This is the moment of truth. Jesus has given him a word. He's traveled all that way. His son's life is on the line. And Jesus says, okay, turn around, go back home. Your son will be okay. This is the moment of faith. This is when he has to decide, am I going to use this key of faith? Am I going to grab a hold of this key of faith, and am I going to exercise faith? And what would it be for faith, for him to exercise faith? He's facing Jesus. Jesus gives him the word. This is faith in that moment. Turning around and starting to walk back home. That's the moment of faith. He could say he believes in Jesus all he wants. He could, in his mind, say, I know he could heal me. But faith is doing this and doing this. And you know what's really interesting? What's really interesting about this passage is that I'm sure when he was walking home, he had some doubts. He had some questions. He had some second guessings. He might have even thought, I should have made Jesus come with me. But all the way, he was still exercising faith with each step. You know, faith in the Bible, I believe faith is a verb. Faith is a verb. Faith is action. Faith is responding. You know, I think many people have a misconception about faith. We think faith is like this mindset. It's a mental thing. We think faith is an attitude. We think faith is being fully convinced in our thoughts and having no doubts at all. And I think that leads us to this idea that we can work up faith, right? Have you ever been asked to pray for someone that you're close to or someone that's in a very desperate situation? And we know that, right? Faith, God says faith, because of your faith, things happen. And so we're thinking, okay, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to really believe. I'm going to really try and pray hard. I'm going to be totally convinced. And we even think we could will our faith. Right? Okay, if I scrunch up my face, that means I have a lot of faith. Right? But faith, biblical faith, it's not something in our head. It's in our feet, in our hands. When we take that step, when we decide, I'm going to exercise faith, even though I have doubts, even though I have questions, even though my mind's not convinced, this is faith. This is faith. This is faith. This is faith. I wrote a definition of faith, and it's a response or action that demonstrates a person believes what God has said or in his promise. So faith is a response or action. Look at James 3:14. James says this, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" Later on, James even says, you say you have faith, you say you believe, well, even the demons believe and shudder. Because faith without works is useless. I'm going to do a little bit of, for the kids and for the older kids out there, I'm going to do a little object lesson right here. So I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer for this object lesson. Okay. No? Okay, come on up. All right. Okay. I'm going to have you put this on, okay? This is a blindfold, okay? Because Hebrews 11:6 says faith is what? The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, okay? So to exercise faith, it's things we can't see. We can't see with our eyes, okay? So let's have you put this on. I'm glad that's not a Dodgers hat. That's good. Okay, can you see?
No.
Can you see anything? Okay, just stay right there. I'm going to get something, okay?
I don't want to step on this glass.
Okay. Okay, just stay there. Okay, now Ezra. I'm right here, okay? You can stay right here. I put a chair right behind you, all right? And so, do you believe I put a chair behind you? Okay, so he says he believes, right? He says he believes. Do you trust me? Okay, he says he trusts me. He has not yet exercised faith. Because faith is not just saying you believe. Faith is just not thinking you believe. What is faith? It's a response, an action, well, in the biblical sense, to something the Lord has said or promised, right? So at this point, Ezra has a decision, right? He could choose to exercise faith or not. I have told him, I put a chair there, and the key of this, right? It's very good. You could see the issue. The key is, does he trust me? Does he trust me enough to respond to what I've told him? Okay, Ezra, I'm going to ask you to sit down. All right. Okay. That's faith. And you can see, right? I mean, you can see it. It is, he's a little tentative, right? He's like, he's trying to feel for it with his butt, right? But he couldn't see. He had to just trust, and then he had to respond. All right, good job, Ezra. Here's a little something for you. Thank you. So faith is the actual responding. It's the action that demonstrates what we say we believe. That's faith. The man said he believed in Jesus. He was hoping in Jesus. But that moment of faith was him turning and starting to take steps. And with every step he took towards his son, he was exercising faith. Even though he had doubts, I'm sure he had questions, he had doubts, he had fears, he had concerns. This was faith. Walking, getting further away from Jesus, and believing through his feet that Jesus' promise was true. Let's look at 51. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better. They replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. And so that's very interesting because, right, it was 1 o'clock the previous day. That means the man had been walking all night. In the middle of the night when it's dark, when you're all by yourself, I'm sure the doubts crept in, the wonders. And it wasn't until the next day, he's probably getting close to home, when his servants found him. Verse 53, then the father realized that that was the very time Jesus had told him, your son will live. And he and his entire household believed in Jesus. This man used the key of faith, and he was rewarded for using the keys of faith. As he began to walk, as he began to go home, Jesus' words were true. Jesus and his son was healed. Third thing, trust reveals truth. Trust reveals truth. When we trust in God, it will reveal more truth about who he is. Whenever we take a step of faith and we put our trust in God, as we take those steps and God responds, our trust in him will be lifted up and we will see more of God. Before the man believed that Jesus was a miracle worker, after he exercised faith and he saw the words of Jesus were true and his son was healed, his whole house believed, not in Jesus as just a miracle worker, but Jesus as the Messiah, I believe. Jesus as God come in the flesh. Jesus as the Son of God who came to save. And it says his whole household believed. Why? Because the man was willing to respond in faith. And he was rewarded by his son being healed, God's power being released, and him, the greatest reward of all, recognizing and seeing Jesus for who he really was. Not just a miracle worker, but the Son of God. The Son of God. Now, just a few application things. Number one, where do you need to exercise faith today? Where are you experiencing the heat in your life? The pressure, the challenges, the trials. And then, how do you need to exercise faith? In your situation, in your life, how do you need to exercise faith? What action do you need to take that demonstrates that you trust indeed in the Lord? Let me give you some different examples of how you might exercise faith. What kind of actions you can do. Maybe you need to make a courageous decision in your life. You're at a crossroads. You need to either maybe change your job, your career, or quit your job for some reason. Maybe you need to downsize the way you live. Maybe you need to change something having to do with your kids' future and their education. Maybe you need to, you know, in a when is the forum for the parents?
November 6th or 13th.
Okay, so in November, early November, Ida Akamine, she's the parents' ministry director or lead. So she is getting together a forum to just give different options for people in our church and outside of our church to hear different options about educating our children. There's different options, different things we can do, and they're going to have some speakers there that are going to share what's happening currently, just from a legal policy standpoint within public education, and just present and discuss different options. And so maybe that's a decision you need to face and you need to make. Maybe you need to adjust the people you're spending time with. Maybe you need to adjust the people you're spending time with. Maybe there's a relationship that you're in that's not helpful, that's not encouraging, does not build you up in your faith. In fact, it draws you away from faith. Maybe you're in a dating relationship and you've been, but you need to break that off. That might be a choice, a decision of faith that you need to make. Maybe you need to change your schedule. Your schedule has gotten too busy. Now that things are opened up, you started getting involved in all these different things, and you find, I hear this all the time, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. Well, whose fault is that? Whose choices are that? Don't be so busy. Make some hard choices of faith in your life. You know, I'm just going to say this one thing because, you know, we've raised our three kids. We've been through it all. When I look back, and I think about all the extracurricular activities we had them in, if I were to do it over again, I would do way less. I would have more time when we were just home, nothing on the agenda, just spending time together as a family. Because I see it. I see it so much. You know, the people that I think are the busiest are people with kids. Kids like our grade school kids. And they're running here and there. And inside of us, inside the parents, I know, you know, sometimes too, when I look back at my kids, sometimes we had them in things that they didn't even like that much. But then it's like, well, everyone's doing it, or we need to do that, or all the families are doing it, so we need to do that too. But when I look back, I'm like, you know, especially things like sports, right? It's like, I look at what was the benefit of sports? There's good things involved in sports. There's good things, there's benefits. But, you know, some people think they could get a college scholarship. You know, they're not gonna be professional ball players. They're not gonna be professionals. Whatever activity they're in, they're not gonna be a professional. Or the odds are very, very, very slim and minute. And you can look at your own athletic ability with sports to see if they have the genetic ability to even possibly even maybe make it, right? It's like invested all that time, all that energy, all that busyness. For what? Okay? Right? So, I mean, Dale and I, we've been there. And I understand. And there's tremendous pressure in society to have your kids and all these things. But is that something you're doing out of faith? And maybe do we need to make some choices in faith other than that? Is there something that God wants you to do, he's been nudging you to do, he's been speaking to you to do for a long time, and you've known, yeah, I need to do that, but you've never taken that step to do it? Maybe it's time to do that. One of the things, prayer ministry, to go to prayer ministry. I don't know how many people I've heard say, oh yeah, I think I need to go to that. And they're just like 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Oh no, I still haven't gone. I'm not ready yet, but I think I need to go. That's doing this. Jesus, yes, in your word you say, you can heal me. You can set me free. You want to minister to me. It's doing this. Going online, catalystchristiancommunity.org, prayer ministry, Barry DiGucci, I would like prayer. We have an awesome team led by Jody. Jody, awesome team. They will love on you. They will encourage you. Some of you, you've been thinking about it for years. It's time to stop thinking about it. Time to do. Time to act. Maybe you need to commit to start a habit, a regular spiritual habit to help you grow spiritually. You know, we have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. It's been going on for years. That's one of my favorite meetings the whole week, is our prayer meeting. We just meet online, and there's usually about 10 of us online, and anyone's welcome to come. And you know what's really great about this group? Every week we pray, and usually people just share personal prayer needs about people need, this person's sick, this person needs a job, this person, and people just share, and then we pray for the nation, and we pray for the church and other things. But you know what's great about doing that every week of praying together? Over time, we've seen God answer a lot of prayers in some very powerful and miraculous ways. And because of that, over the years, the faith in that group has grown. Like when I pray, when we pray, some of the people here we know. When we pray, I have a confidence God's going to answer that. God's going to answer that because we've seen him do it so many times over and over and over. Every time we go, every time we pray, that's exercise, that's using the key of faith. And when God answers, it's like the man's son being healed. Our eyes are open. Wow, God does answer prayers. Well, God can make a difference. Well, prayer does really work. And that encourages us to pray more and more and more. And the faith level in that group is so high because we've been at it week after week after week after week, seeing hundreds of prayers answered. Maybe you need to start a spirit, something spiritual. Maybe you need to go to the worldview class, biblical worldview class. Maybe you're struggling with some issues. A lot of people are struggling with issues. They don't go to the Bible to look for wisdom on that issue. They just go to the internet, go to social media, go to the news, go to their friends, go to Facebook to get their opinions. That's not how we shape our worldview. That's not developing a biblical worldview. It's getting in the Word. And what I love about this class is Kyle and Damon, they're going to present issues, but then they're going to go to, what does the Bible say? What are verses that apply to these issues? So we could start thinking, oh, I never knew the Bible said that. Wow, the Bible says that about this issue? Wow, that's different than how I think and feel about this issue. And so we have to wrestle with it. Maybe you need to reach out to someone. God's been prompting you. Call this friend. Out of the blue, you get this prompting. The person comes to mind. Maybe you need to reach out to them to seek care. Maybe you need to invite them to church and start trying to bring someone to the Lord. Maybe you yourself need to accept Jesus Christ. You've never done that, and you need to do that. There's so many different ways that we can take that step. There's so many different ways. The Bible says without faith, it's not this in here, or not only this, without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please God. Without faith, without exercising that key, it is impossible to please God. So faith is a verb. Use the key that God has given you. Start exercising the key of faith. And you and I, we will start seeing God move in our lives like never before. Let's bow forward to prayer. Lord, thank you for giving us the gift of faith, giving us the ability, Lord, to respond to you and your word. Lord, I pray you would speak to each and every person here, because each and every one of us has one, two, three, or more challenges that we're facing, where you're encouraging us to exercise faith, to exercise trust in you, to act according to your word and your truth, and not just by what we think or what we feel or what others are doing. And so, Lord, I pray that you would move in such a way that we would see all of our people taking these steps of faith, and we would see you moving all the more. And Lord, ultimately that our relationship with you, our love for you, our praise of you, our understanding of you, our commitment to you will be strengthened, will be raised up, Lord. Because you are the ultimate prize, God. You are the ultimate gift as the result of faith, Lord. Seeing you and who you are. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Move in this time. Holy Spirit, we invite you to move as we worship you. Release worship, heartfelt, passionate, Lord, fully committed worship to you. Release that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.